Hello and welcome to Medying News. Medying News aims to be an authentic voice, bringing you real truthful stories from the Middle East with a particular focus on the Kurdish question that is often ignored, self-censored or suppressed by the mainstream media platforms. This edition of our podcast is the second of three interviews to mark the 23rd anniversary of the abduction and imprisonment of the Kurdish leader Abdullah Öcalan on the 15th of February 1999. The first interview was with Mahmoud Patel from the Kurdish Human Rights Action Group in South Africa. And in this edition, we will be speaking to Simon Dubbins, the International Director of Unite Union. The Kurdish issue in Turkey is one of the denial of the identity of the Kurdish people, a denial of their identity, their history, their culture, language, and their right to decide their own future. A people who, because they decided not to abandon their identity, were criminalized by the Turkish state and have been subjected for almost 100 years since the establishment of the modern Turkish state to the most brutal and violent campaigns of repression that have included widespread war crimes of ethnic cleansing and forced displacement and crimes against humanity. Widespread crimes that they have suffered to the almost universal silence of the international community and global governments who have supported the Turkish state's brutal suppression of the Kurds with silence and complicity, arms deals and economic interests that have meant that governments have not questioned the Turkish state's preferred framing of the Kurdish issue in any other way than one of fighting terrorism. This has left the Kurds mostly to struggle alone. However, after the events in the north and east Syria, particularly the Kurds' defense of the city of Kobani against an overwhelming attack by ISIS in 2004, the world is beginning to recognize the Kurds as freedom fighters and people who share the values of the democratic world in fighting against racism, sexism, and also fighting against radical jihadist terrorist organizations such as ISIS and Al-Qaeda, while at the same time fighting for a radical democracy in the Middle East that promotes equal representation, women's freedom, and progressive ecological principles. In 2014, the UK trade union movement were appalled at the manner in which the Turkish government prevented support for the Kurds crossing their borders during the battle for Kobani against the genocidal intent of ISIS. The brave Kurdish fighters of the People's Protection Units and the Women's Protection Units were an inspiration to all, especially those in the trade union movement. Then in 2015, Erdogan failed to gain the absolute majority he wanted in the elections and proceeded to react in an aggressive manner and relaunch the brutal war against the Kurds. In the aftermath of these events, the trade union campaign Freedom for Öcalan was launched in 2016 in the UK Parliament by Unite and the GMB. Since then, it has grown to have more than 14 major unions affiliated and is supported by the Trades Union Congress, the TUC. Abdullah Öcalan, the recognized leader of the Kurdish People's Freedom Movement, whose ideas guide this progressive movement and whose fighters played such a critical role in both saving Kobani and the defeat of ISIS, was abducted on the 15th of February 1999 after being forced out of Syria and embarking on a journey to find a peaceful political solution to the Kurdish issue. After months of diplomatic efforts, Öcalan was en route to South Africa to meet with members of the South African government, where he had been assured political asylum by Mandela's government. When he was abducted from the Greek embassy in Nairobi by Turkish intelligence agents and was flown back to Turkey and taken to a prison island called İmralı Island in the middle of the Sea of Marmara, where he has remained in almost total isolation since. This 15th of February, he will be beginning his 24th year of a life sentence, which has been ruled illegal by many, including the European Court of Human Rights. Simon Dubbins, the Unite International Director, said at the launch of the Freedom for Öcalan campaign in 2016, "Öcalan is utterly dedicated to plurality, women's rights, and democracy. He has written extraordinary books while under extreme conditions of isolation in prison. He is a formidable intellect. It is an outrage that President Erdogan is being given a free hand to do as he likes with freedom of expression, attacks on trade unions, and the outright war against the Kurds. It has to end. By launching this campaign today, we have broken through the taboo that has surrounded Öcalan. And I'm very, very pleased and so honored today to be joined by Simon Dubbins, the International Director of one of the UK's largest trade unions, Unite, to talk about the Freedom for Öcalan campaign and the latest Imrali delegation initiative that is being launched on the 23rd anniversary of Abdullah Öcalan's imprisonment and isolation. Welcome, Simon. Can I perhaps begin by asking you to give us a little bit of background as to how the Freedom for Öcalan campaign came about and the support that it has gained since its launch?
Yeah, thanks, Mark. And it was a great introduction and overview that you gave in your opening remarks there. I think, as you mentioned, there's been a long history of involvement with Kurdish solidarity. Many unions in the UK have had links and contacts and done solidarity work pre-2014. But as you rightly pointed out, I think 2014 and Kobani marked a turning point because many people the world over were horrified with the barbarity of ISIS and the crimes that were being committed. And frankly, the response of the Erdogan government at that time in stopping support from coming via Turkey to aid the fighters in Kobani was looked at, quite frankly, with horror. And there were also the reports coming out at the time that Turkey was not just preventing support for the Kurdish fighters, they were in fact channeling arms and fighters to help ISIS. So I remember my own union issued a statement at the time calling for Erdogan to allow support and others to be able to help their colleagues in Kobani. And we really started to have more intensive discussions about what type of concrete support we could give. And then in 2016, you rightly pointed out what had happened with the election and Erdogan losing the majority. He then responds with complete rage, breaks off the peace talks, which had been going on between 2013 and 15, and returns to the course of war. So we took a delegation. We were really trying to work out how best we could focus the solidarity. Kurds, as you know and mentioned, are actually split up into several different countries. And it's difficult. It's not easy to find the correct focal point to give, you know, comprehensive support. So we travelled, myself and a few other colleagues, to Ahmed Diyarbakir at the time that the Erdogan government was wreaking havoc in Sur district and Cizre and Silopi and other places. And frankly, Mark, I couldn't believe my eyes. I've been in international work for the union for 25 years now. I've been to Palestine and Colombia and other places, and I thought personally I'd seen quite a lot, but I was absolutely stunned at what I saw was going on. So when we returned, having seen that in fact the Syrian civil war was in Turkey now, it was quite clear, we discussed at length how best we could do it and how best we could provide solidarity. And really, Öcalan and demanding Öcalan's freedom appeared the most sensible and coherent way of doing that, because it is Öcalan who is without doubt recognized as the leader of the Kurdish political movement. His personal situation, tragic situation, as you mentioned, held in complete isolation on an island, is actually very similar to Mandela's.
Yeah.
We know that Öcalan, in his thought and ideological approach, has actually developed very, very dynamically and taken the Kurdish movement in a new direction. And we thought the way that we can best do this is really to call and build as much support as we can to demand his freedom, because actually only Öcalan has got the political authority really to speak on behalf of Kurdish people and to enter the negotiations and play only the role that he can really play, not just for Turkey, but because of the way in which the demographics are across that region, actually to be the key person in bringing peace, democracy, stability about in the wider region. So we really decided that we would launch that campaign, as you rightly say, in April 2016. And it was ourselves and the GMB and a number of others who put the event on in the Houses of Parliament. Since then, we've grown very fast. If I look at other solidarity campaigns like Palestine or Justice for Colombia, they have been around much longer. They're very well established, but our campaign, for the short time it's been in existence, has grown extremely quickly and without doubt influenced and brought the message to a lot of people.
That's absolutely amazing, Simon. And lots of people who are following your critically important work were very inspired by to see those pictures from the Trade Union Congress of all the delegates holding up that iconic image that was designed by Jim Fitzpatrick, the Irish artist who was very famous for the iconic Che Guevara image, wasn't he? I think that was the same image. What was the story behind that? Because that was incredibly powerful.
Well, we had, as I say, launched a campaign in 2016, and the usual hard work that goes with that, talking to other unions, talking to colleagues, explaining why it is important. And we managed to get a lot more unions signing up officially as members of the campaign. We then had in 2018, we were honoured, the Durham miners. We know sadly there are no mines left anymore, but as I'm sure you're aware, Mark, the Durham Miners Gala is one of the main points in the trade union calendar and brings huge crowds, somewhere around 200,000 attend each year. So we spoke to the Durham miners and they very quickly said, yes, we'd love to have freedom for Öcalan as the main international theme. This was 2018. Mm. So we were really, really pleased with that and had a big presence there, brought the message to a lot more people. The following year, we were the main international theme at the Tolpuddle Martyrs Festival, where we had a big march and a colleague spoke from the platform. And I think what had happened is we really had started to penetrate the trade union movement here, and they had completely understood why, as is so often the case in UK trade union history, this was one of those moments when we had to stand shoulder to shoulder with these people who share our values, democracy, peace, equality, women's rights. And, you know, we really built it from there. So by 2019, we had a motion go to the TUC Congress, and they agreed to undertake the solidarity action. And it always sounds like a small thing when you've got 700 or 800 people just to hold up somebody's face. But actually, the impact and power of that is enormous. It was seen all over Kurdistan, and it sent a very, very clear message that we know what they're facing. We know what our colleagues are trying to deal with and cope with, and we stand shoulder to shoulder with them. And I think, Mark, what is important, the status of the Kurdish political movement is difficult for many people, and it is a bit of a taboo, and the bravery, quite frankly, of the trade union movement in saying we want to break through that, we want to demand Mr. Öcalan's freedom, was a really, really significant changing point. And as I say, had a huge impact. So we were pleased with that. We managed to then replicate the same action at the Unite conference last year, where again, I think we had around 700 delegates. We did the same action. And we know there's a couple of other unions that are looking at doing it again this year. So our Kurdish colleagues know it's not just the Confederation, it's actually individual unions as well taking that small step to demonstrate their solidarity.
Oh, Simon, it's just absolutely incredible. I never forget the day that I saw that picture, you know, having been a campaigner for trying to raise this issue for so many years. It just filled me with such joy when I saw that that image. It was, as you say, such an inspiration for so many people around the world to see that. Can you talk about the Imrali delegation initiative?
Sure. It's been going for many years now, Mark. I think it's about 10 or 11. I'd need to double check the exact date. But the idea behind it is really to send a delegation each year physically. We've obviously not been able to do that since the COVID pandemic hit. But the idea was really to take an international delegation to Turkey to meet with human rights groups there, Kurdish organizations, not just Kurdish organizations, also the wider civil society, which, as you pointed out in your opening remarks, is being utterly suppressed with thousands and thousands in jail. So the delegation goes and meets with people on the ground. The main aim is to actually to try to get access to Mr. Öcalan in prison and pay a visit. But of course, the Turkish authorities resolutely reject that. They even refuse to meet the delegation. The last physical one, as you'd expect, they met with everybody. It happened to be the time when Leyla Güven was in the middle of a very long hunger strike. They were followed around by police the whole time. They clearly don't like people being there and drawing attention to it. But we simply can't get access to Mr. Öcalan. So that delegation is happening virtually at the moment. We thought it important to keep it going despite COVID. And we're hoping that we can get back to physical delegations and maybe next year, as soon as we possibly can anyway.
That's fantastic. So there's an online, I think there's an online virtual meeting tomorrow, I think, is which you can probably get the details of that on the Peace in Kurdistan website, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Yeah, the Imrali delegation began yesterday and is completing today. And then tomorrow evening, we've got the Trade Union Freedom for Öcalan campaign, because it's the 15th of February, the day that he was abducted. We've got an online event with some great speakers there. And Sally Muslim will be joining us as well from northeastern Syria to say a few words about the situation there and how Öcalan's ideas were an inspiration for the new society that they're trying to build there. So, yeah, we've got the event to mark the sad anniversary that we are now 23 years and going into the 24th year of illegal incarceration.
On Friday, Simon, I did an interview with Mahmoud Patel, who's a South African activist and academic, an ex-member of Umkhonto Sizwe and the South African Communist Party, and an organizer of the Kurdish Human Rights Group, which actually came about as a result of Abdullah Öcalan's plan to travel to South Africa to meet with Nelson Mandela, where he had been assured political asylum. I asked Mahmoud what role did international solidarity play in securing the eventual release of Nelson Mandela, who himself was, of course, in prison for 27 years. He said it was absolutely critical, and that was recognized by all parties. What role do you think international solidarity has to play to achieve the release of Abdullah Öcalan, and how can international solidarity be organized, widened, and strengthened to apply real pressure both on our governments and on the Turkish government?
Well, I think there's absolutely no doubt that international solidarity was critical, not only for the release of Nelson Mandela, but for ending the appalling apartheid regime that existed for so long. And it's not just in relation to South Africa. We know that international solidarity is crucial to many of our colleagues that are struggling for peace and democracy in Colombia, and you know, the struggle that the Palestinians have at the moment to ensure their human rights are respected. So throughout the history of our movement, it always has been crucial. I think this case is no different whatsoever. We really do need to build the international solidarity. We had an online rally, I think it was 2020 in July, in the early stages of the pandemic, where we did have speakers from the CGL, the big confederation in Italy. We had them from CGT in France, a colleague from Commissiones contributed. The general secretary of the Irish TUC also took part. So we do have already a good basis there, and people do understand it. But I think we also have to be realistic. I don't think that we have yet the mobilization and pressure in numbers that we need internationally, which we've managed to build in other campaigns, and we're doing our best to build that. I think what's really made it difficult at the moment, Mark, is the pandemic has really caused problems, and it's understandable.
Yeah.
Workers in every country have been flat out trying to, you know, make sure they've got the correct health protections at the workplace to stop employers taking advantage of the pandemic to drive down wages and conditions. Many jobs have been lost. So understandably, people's attentions have been taken away from international aspects. We've also, I personally think the way in which the whole Brexit process has affected this country has also made it more insular. And that's a sad development and something that we need to really push back on. So it's not been an easy climate to build international solidarity and, you know, make people make the connections and understand why it's crucial that we do this. That said, I still think the progress we've made during this period is remarkable. And I think many people on the progressive end of the political spectrum understand why this is important. What is disgusting is that the international community, in the form of nation states and European Union and so on and further afield, there just seems to be no real attempt to hold Turkey to account. I think you mentioned yourself, Mark, the Committee for the Prevention of Torture has described the conditions as basically unacceptable, inhumane, and yet nothing happens. We see Turkey ethnically cleansing areas. There's very strong allegations that they supported the ISIS prison breakout only a couple of weeks ago. We know that they are engaged in illegal military interventions in northern Iraq, in Syria, in Libya, in Azerbaijan, and the way the Turkish state is at the moment, the violence, the aggression, there seems to be no attempt to hold it to account. And UK and others continue selling arms and treating it as if it is a normal country, and it's not. So we still have a long way to go.
Yeah.
But, you know, things are very dynamic and moving and changing fast. So I think, you know, that we should not lose hope if we keep building that pressure that we can get to the right place.
Well, just brings me on to my last question, Simon, and anything else that you'd just like to add in summary. What would your message be then to the Kurdish people who do at times feel that they struggle alone? Do the Kurds have friends other than the mountains?
Well, I think there's absolutely no doubt about it, Mark. Of course they do. No, you know, we've tried to show the very graphic, visible demonstrations of that in the events I mentioned, Durham, Tolpuddle, the events at the TUC Congress and so on. Less visible are the other areas. We obviously work with MPs. We've helped the all-party political group put together a very important report on the suppression of democracy, the way Kurds are treated in Turkey. It calls for a review of the listing of the PKK and mentions the Belgium court case, which took a landmark historic decision. So there are lots of things going on that are less visible, but it is also important that we continue with those acts of solidarity that Kurdish people can actually see. And so they understand they're not alone. They have got friends. And we must never forget, Mark, that the struggle that they waged in Syria against ISIS on the front line, often poorly equipped, against all odds, was a really heroic struggle, not just for themselves, but for the wider region and humanity. So we will continue to do that. We'll continue to display our solidarity visually, and we will do it in many, many other ways that are less visible, but are also equally important. They have certainly got more friends than just the mountains.
Simon Dubbins, International Director of one of UK's largest trade unions, Unite. Thank you so much for everything that you do, Simon. I know that many people all over the world, Kurds all over the world, would probably want me to thank you on their behalf for the incredible acts of solidarity that you have led over the years. And it gives people inspiration, frankly, all over the world. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Mark. It's obviously really important, the work you're doing in trying to make sure that the message is spread, that people understand what's going on. And any thanks should without doubt be returned, because not just people in the region, but I think globally owe a huge debt of gratitude and thanks to the Kurdish people for the struggles that they've waged in the name of peace, democracy, women's rights, and for a better future. So that goes in both directions, Mark.
Absolutely. Simon, thank you so much. And as they say in the Kurdish movement, Serkeftin.
Thank you too, Mark. All the best.
Take care. Thank you very much, Simon. Bye-bye.
Bye.